Они не обязательно правдивы или истинны.
Nevertheless, they have an answer.
И не всегда у них есть ответ.
So, we also said that the gospel is like a caged lion.
Также говорили о том, что Евангелие это как заключенный в клетку лев.
All you need to do is to let it loose and it will defend itself.
Все, что нужно сделать, выпустить наружу, оно уже само будет защищено.
So it is not necessary for us to learn everything about all the other worldviews.
Поэтому для нас не является необходимостью изучить все подробности об всех мировоззрениях.
I just need to focus on the truth.
Надо просто фокусироваться на истине.
And believe that the power is in the gospel itself.
И верить, что сила, она в самом Евангелии.
And that is also what the Bible says.
Это то, что Библия также говорит.
In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Okay, having said all that by way of repetition, we just want to say tonight that the reason why we would like to study worldviews is because of identification.
И также хотим сказать, что причина, по которой мы изучаем мировоззрения различные, это для того, чтобы иметь отождествление.
You know, if you talk to a person and they feel like you can identify with them, they will listen to you more carefully.
И если вы разговариваете с человеком, и они чувствуют, что вы как-то можете с ним отождествиться, понять его, тогда они будут слушать вас внимательно.
So when we are talking about evangelism or soul winning, it may be a very good idea to know a little bit about other people's worldviews. Now, in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19-23. You have, excuse me, you have it on the screen there. It's about the Apostle Paul. And it says there in the context that be all things to all men. Some people have taken that verse to mean something totally differently than it actually means. and say, well, we should just, you know, be like the world and act like the world, and that way we will win the world. It doesn't mean that we should compromise.
Но здесь не имеется в виду, что мы должны идти на компромисс.
It doesn't mean that we should sin.
Не говорится, что мы должны грешить.
But in Paul's case, he knew actually at least two worldviews.
Но в случае Павла, по крайней мере, он был знаком с двумя мировоззрениями.
Oh, I would say three mindsets. Three different mindsets. The Jewish worldview. The Roman and the Greek. But he was able to identify with people. He could understand where they were coming from, so to speak.
Но он мог отождествиться с этими людьми, то есть он понимал их прошлое или откуда они исходят, с какого окружения.
Notice, like when you begin sharing the gospel with somebody, maybe you have a different starting point depending on who you're talking to.
И если вы замечаете, что в зависимости от того, с кем вы разговариваете, то у вас может быть разное начало, с чего вы начинаете разговор.
So be all things to all men.
Итак, быть всем для всех людей.
Try to understand where they're coming from and why they think the way they think.
То есть попытаться понять, откуда они и почему они думают таким образом, как они думают.
In Ezekiel 3, verses 14 to 16,
Ezekiel 3, главе, 14 по 16,
the Spirit of God brings Ezekiel to where the Jewish people in captivity were sitting.
И Дух Божий ведет Иезекииля туда, где сидят Израиль, здесь израильский народ в плену.
And Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat.
И он говорит, я сидел там, где они сидели.
So,
остановился,
it simply means that he was walking in their shoes, so to speak. So he could identify with their suffering. And then, of course, we have the Lord himself in Hebrews 4:15. It says about him that he was tempted in all points, but he had no sin. So, Jesus never sinned. We don't have to participate in people's sins in order to be able to identify with them.
Поэтому и нам не нужно участвовать в грехах других людей для того, чтобы смочь с ними отождествиться.
But all the things that we are facing as human beings, Christ was tempted in those areas, and he can identify with us.
Но во всех трудностях, которые мы были, искушения, которые мы проходим, Христос был искушен, поэтому он может нас отождествиться с нами.
So we study worldviews because of identification.
И мы изучаем мировоззрение различные из-за отождествления.
Okay, let's go to the next slide.
Так, перейдем сейчас к следующему слайду.
Yes. Now, four problems that we face.
Четыре проблемы, с которыми мы сталкиваемся.
Now, I realize, and you realize, that what you face in the Ukraine is not exactly the same as we face in Sweden.
И я, конечно, понимаю, что то, с чем сталкиваетесь вы в Украине, не обязательно то же самое, с чем мы сталкиваемся здесь.
So, some of the things I say may apply a little bit more here or a little bit more there, whatever, but I mean, in principle, we probably face pretty much the same things.
То есть, как бы, то, что я буду говорить, оно может быть немножко отличается или больше подходит для вас или больше для нас, но неважно, в принципе, они похожи.
But as Bible-believing Christians, we face a lot of things, and here are four problems that we battle with daily.
И мы, как библейские верующие, сталкиваемся со многими вещами, но вот на ежедневной основе, в основном, вот с этими четырьмя.
First, we have competing worldviews.
Первое, это у нас конкурирующие мировоззрения.
Meaning that, you know, we have a biblical worldview.
Означает, что у нас библейское мировоззрение.
But not all people have that, obviously.
Но очевидно, что это мировоззрение, оно не у всех.
A lot of people think differently.
Многие люди думают по-разному.
And, you know, what we hear in the church is not the same thing that we hear in our workplaces.
И то, что мы слышим в церкви, это не то, что мы слышим на работе.
What I hear in Sunday school in church is not what I hear in the public school that I go to during the week.
Да, и то, что я слышу на воскреске, в воскресенье в церкви, отличается от того, что я в государственной школе.
So the world is becoming more and more international.
Мне становится все больше международным.
And, you know, we are more and more exposed to worldviews that are different than from our own.
И мы все больше сталкиваемся с этими мировоззрениями, которые отличаются от наших.
Then we have political correctness. You know, there are certain things that you're not allowed to talk about. And this may be different where you are. But in Western Europe, pretty much, you know, you cannot talk about God. If you mention God or you mention Jesus, it's like, you know, the room will be silent. Or people will just start jumping on you. You know, it's political correctness. We claim that we have this freedom and anyone can believe whatever they want.
Это как политкорректности, то есть как бы мы провозглашаем тут, ну, на Западе, что мы свободны верить каждый в то, что он считает нужным.
But in reality there is an expectation, so to speak, you know, what people are supposed to believe.
Но в реальности существует такое по умолчанию ожидание, во что люди должны верить.
And again, your situation may be somewhat different from here. But in many cases, we also have to battle liberal churches. Or they may not be even liberal on paper in their theology.
На бумаге, так скажем, в теологии они не либеральны, как будто.
But they are lukewarm, meaning that they are not on fire for God.
Но они выглядят тепловатыми такими, то есть имеется в виду, что они не за Бога, не горят за Бога.
That means that, you know, we not only fight the competing worldviews out there and the political correctness, but we also fight Christians who do not agree with us.
Это означает, что мы не только с конкурирующими мировоззрениями, с нашим библейским, там, сталкиваемся или должны противостоять или по корректности, которая там существует в социуме, но еще также с другими церквями, которые либо либеральные, либо теплые, безразличные и не согласны с нами.
And then we have what I call an inaccurate understanding, sorry for my poor grammar, inaccurate understanding of science.
И последний пункт это то, что я называю неточное или неверное понимание науки.
Meaning that, you know, people claim that, okay, science have already proven something.
Люди говорят, а наука уже там доказала что.
But many things science is only assuming certain things, they have not proven it.
Но в большинстве случаев наука просто предполагает что-то, о чем-то они доказали или доказывают.
Science, everything that science is dealing with has to be observable, first of all.
Все, чем разбирается наука, оно должно быть исследуемо, то есть оно должно, его можно наблюдать.
It has to be testable.
Его можно протестировать.
And it has to be repeatable.
И оно должно, этот опыт должен повториться, то есть его можно проводить несколько раз.
If it's not, it's not science, it's actually just philosophy.
То есть, а если этого невозможно провести, произвести вот этих манипуляций, тогда это уже не наука, а просто философия.
The theory of evolution is a good example of that.
И хорошим примером вот такой вот болтовни, это теория эволюции.
It used to be called the theory of evolution.
То есть раньше она так и называлась, теория эволюции.
But now they have dropped the theory and they just call it evolution because it's a proven truth.
Сейчас они этот первый термин теория убрали, это теперь эволюция, это как доказанная истина.
No, it's not. It's built on an assumption.
На самом деле это не так, это на предположение.
That things happen a certain way or in a certain fashion earlier, and that's what we observe today. But we don't know.
что-то произошло раньше каким-то таким образом, туда-сюда, и вот это, наверное, мы сейчас результаты наблюдаем.
So, we can't be experts in every field.
И мы с вами не можем быть экспертами во всякой области.
But we can learn maybe something and become very good at it.
Ну, можем, по крайней мере, в чем-то хорошо подучиться.
One time I heard Richard Wurmbrand speak.
Однажды я слышал, как говорит, выступал Ричард Вурмбранд.
He was in a Romanian prison for many, many years.
Он был в тюрьме, в румынской тюрьме, коммунистической, много лет.
And he spoke in a church.
И он выступал в церкви какой-то.
And he said, you know, we're I don't know if you know the expression, but we are spreading ourselves too thin, meaning that we don't know very much. We just know a little bit about everything. But we need to be good at something. And he just kind of encouraged and challenged people to learn something and learn it well. So if I'm called to be a missionary in a certain part of the world, or if God wants me to stay right there in my home country, I probably know which worldviews that are dominating that place. And besides being an expert in the gospel, meaning knowing my own Bible, maybe I can learn something about some of those worldviews. For by doing so, I can identify with people. I know the things that people are caught up in, so to speak, you know, different mental strongholds, if you will. So, we can go to the next PowerPoint. Here are 8 worldviews. Now, the last one is biblical theism, and that is basically what we believe. But there are 7 other worldviews that you can see on the screen. And I think that 90% or more of the world's population somehow adhere to one of these worldviews. Okay, let's begin with the first one, so we can go to the next.
Next slide.
Yes, next slide. So here we have 2 guys.
Вот у нас тут 2 чувака.
One is dead and one is still alive.
Один уже помер, другой еще живой пока.
And I think the first one you probably recognize him in your part of the world. He was pretty dominant there for a while. And the other man, it's called Marx. Yes. And the other one is actually Richard Dawkins. He's a British scientist, biologist. And he's kind of the face of modern or the new atheism, as they call it sometimes. So atheism says, you know, what if there is no God? That's the question that atheism is asking. So these two men, you know, represent, we could say previously, Eastern Europe and Western Europe. But of course now there is no such difference or such border anymore. But one is, of course, communism, and the other one is humanism. Two different approaches, but both of them are atheistic in their origin. So we have believers, you know, we embrace the idea of God. And then we have agnostics. And an agnostic will say there may or there may not be a God, but we don't know. But then an atheist says, no, I don't believe, but maybe I will believe if God would actually show up on my doorstep. But you know, there is actually an even stronger stand than an atheist. And that is what sometimes what we sometimes call an anti-theist. And Christopher Hitchens, I don't know if you know that name, Christopher Hitchens. He was also a British man. He died maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And he went one step further. He said, I will not believe even if God made himself real to me. So he went one step beyond atheism. But what do an atheist believe about the world? What is their worldview? First of all, what do they believe about the world itself? Well, actually, they say it's uncreated and it's eternal. There is no God. There is materia. We don't really know where it came from. It may have been there always. But that is not important. It's just there. So, what do they believe about evil? Well, they believe there is evil in the world. And that is usually their chief argument against God, saying that if there was a God, we wouldn't have the kind of world that we have.
Они, естественно, верят, что зло в мире существует, и это их основной аргумент против Бога. Они говорят, что если бы Бог был, тогда бы не было никакого зла.
And then what do they believe about values? Are there any values in this world?
И что они верят по поводу ценностей? Есть ли какие-то ценности в этом мире?
You know, we believe that there are values that are rooted in the Bible and rooted in the character and nature of God.
Мы верим, например, что есть ценности, которые укоренены или взяты из Библии, которые находят свое начало в характере Бога.
But an atheist would claim that morals are relative and situational.
Атеисты говорят, что мораль или нравственность, она ситуативна и
So, in other words, it means that, you know, it may be right to do something in a certain situation, but in another situation, you know, it you need to do something differently. Or different, sorry. It just... There is no God, and therefore there is no law that we are bound to.
И раз нет Бога, значит нет никакого закона, под которым мы должны находиться.
And therefore, you know, it just depends what is right at that particular moment.
И поэтому это зависит от того, какой момент, что правильно будет.
So what is our response when we actually hear about atheism or talk to an atheist?
Итак, какой же будет наш отклик на то, если, ну, на это мировоззрение, или, например, если мы разговариваем с человеком, видим, что он атеистический взгляд?
Well, there are great arguments for the existence of God out there.
И, конечно, есть замечательные, невероятные аргументы в пользу существования Бога.
About 25 years ago, a group of scientists, Christian scientists, got together in California.
Группа христианских ученых собралась вместе в Калифорнии.
And they started an organization called Intelligent Design.
И они начали такую организацию, которая дала название Интеллектуальный дизайн.
And basically, they're just saying one thing.
И в основном они
that the creation that we see cannot be a coincidence.
Творение, которое мы видим вокруг себя, оно не может быть случайностью.
There is a creation,
есть творение,
and it requires intelligence.
И оно требует интеллекта.
So there must be a creator.
Поэтому должен быть творец.
So there are great arguments for the existence of God. In apologetics, which means to defend the faith, we have actually four main arguments for the existence of God. The first one we call the cosmological argument. And remember the Greek word for space, it's cosmos, and I know it's the same in Russian, so it makes no sense here to translate it.
Помните, что для пространства, так скажем, это название космос.
So, what I'm saying here is that if there is a creation, there must be a creator. You know, everything has a cause. You go back and there's another cause, and you know, you must come back to a place where there is an uncaused cause. I know that's a strange word, but...
потом вы еще исследуете, у этого должна быть своя причина. То есть в конце концов нужно дойти до того, когда будет причина без причин.
And God is that uncaused cause.
И Бог вот это беспричинная причина.
And this is where you come. I mean, you go back and you say something. That there must be a beginning. And there must have been a beginning, either with nothing or something. Sometimes I ask people, I say, what is more logical? That we came from nothing, or that we came from something which we may not be able to explain. And most people around here will say, oh, I think it's more logical that we came from nothing. But this is what we mean by the cosmological argument. There must be an uncaused cause. And God is that uncaused cause. So then we have the teleological argument. And that means that there's not only a world around us. It's very obvious that it has design and it has purpose. Now, you can walk down the road or the street with an atheist. And you would ask the atheist, you know, when you see a beautiful building, and you say, oh, that building just popped up one day. Then they would say, no, of course not. Somebody designed it. There was an architect behind it. You know, somebody built it. And you may look at a painting. And you say, yeah, it just showed up. And so, no, you don't understand. There was a Hudoshnik behind. I mean, there was an artist. I know the Russian word, but I didn't know the English. and they would go against you when you say that. But then you say, wow, look at this world. Look at the universe. Look how fantastic and beautiful it is. And how you have the natural laws and you have all these things there that are, you know, just happening. There must be a great designer behind it. Oh, no, you don't understand. It just happened. It's called the Big Bang. You know, this reasoning is not logical. The more complex and the more design or complexity and design we see out there, the more we know and understand that there's somebody behind it. And then we have what we call the axiological argument. It comes from actually the Greek word that means law. In other words, there is a law and people know it. If you go against certain laws, you're in trouble. If you go against the law of gravity, you may kill yourself if you jump out from the 10th floor. Jump from the 10th floor, sorry. But there are also other laws. You can talk to any person anywhere in the world and they will tell you that it's wrong to kill and steal and so on. They may break that law and they may not really believe that it applies to them right then, but they believe that that is wrong, or those things are wrong. Now, where does that come from? Where does that understanding come from? Well, because we were created by a moral God. It's built into us. And that is what we call the axiological argument. And there is one more argument against atheism. And that is what we call the ontological argument. Yes, I know that these words are pretty, but usually they are the same in almost any language. So, but the whole idea with the ontological argument is that since God can be conceived, he must exist. In other words, who came up with the idea that there is a God? But if you talk to children, normally God is a reality. 96% of the world's population is non-atheist. They believe in something. So, in other words, the whole idea about God and about a creator is actually built into man. Now, I have to ask somebody here, can I see how long we, because I usually what happens is I forget about time, so I'm going to see how much we are into. Okay, we can take a couple of more minutes here. Let's do the next one and then we close there. So let's go to the next PowerPoint. It's about deism. And and the question that deism is asking is that what if God made the world and then left it to itself or alone? So, those who hold to deism, they believe that God exists, but he does not perform miracles. And the world is God's only revelation about himself.
то, что нас мы видим в творении, оно единственное откровение Бога о себе.
So, someone who believes in deism,
тот, кто верит в деизм,
they don't really trust in God. They trust in their own rationale.
То есть они на самом деле не доверяют Богу, они верят свою рациональность.
And what do they believe about evil?
И что они говорят о зле?
Basically, that man's actions are the source of evil.
И они говорят, что дела людей являются источником зла.
An evil principle is at work in man.
И принципы зла, они внутри человека.
And what do they believe about values?
Что они говорят по поводу ценностей?
Well, they are basically grounded in nature.
Они в основном в природе.
And it means that they are obvious to us because of the creation.
То есть они очевидны для нас из-за творения.
So deism teaches that God created a world for some unknown reason.
Деизм учит, что Бог сотворил мир по неизвестной причине.
He's real and he exists.
Он, ну, существует, он есть.
But he has left the creation and it's governed by certain laws that he put in place before he left.
Он оставил свое творение, но оно как бы функционирует при помощи тех законов, которые
and
он оставил.
Maybe it sounds a bit funny.
Может быть, ну, звучит забавно.
Like, do you really think there are people that believe that?
На самом деле есть такие люди, которые в это верят.
Yes, a lot of people believe that.
Да, много людей в это верят.
They believe there is a God, but they don't think that he wants to or even is able to intervene in a situation.
Да, они верят, что Бог есть, но не верят в то, что он может или хочет
so,
вмешаться.
What is our response to deism?
Какой же наш отклик на деизм?
Well, here's the challenge.
What
if you believe in the greatest miracle of all, that is the creation, but why do you... Or,
если вы верите. Yeah.
And why do you then... No, go ahead, sorry.
Если вы верите в величайшее чудо, чем является творение...
Why do you then deny all other miracles and interventions?
Почему тогда вы отвергаете все остальные чудеса и вмешательства?
It's really inconsistent.
Это непоследовательно.
Because the greatest miracle is really the creation itself.
Потому что величайшее чудо это само творение.
You know, when people say, how could Jesus be born of a virgin?
Ну как Иисус мог родиться от детства?
Or how could he walk on the water? Well, it's very easy. He was God. and he can do anything he wants. But in deism, yeah, he's out there, he exists, but he doesn't intervene.
В деизме такой взгляд, что да, где-то там Бог есть, существует, но он не вмешивается.
So, we... gave a little, we had a little time of repetition when we began. Okay. Time to stop. Yeah, and then we talked about identification. And then we covered worldviews and... Sorry, then we covered atheism as the first worldview and deism as the second worldview today. So I think we close for today the official part. And maybe we could take one or two questions or even... three, depending on how long they are.
Может быть, мы